In hour number two, we thank you so much for being with us here on this Tuesday. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, my name is Damian Barling here on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League, Sports 1140 KHDK. And since we've been talking football, actually, we've been all over the place. We opened with football. We went to addiction.
Yeah.
And then we went from addiction to Yasiel Puig. So it was an interesting first hour. In case you missed it, you could check it all out on KHDK.com. By the way, there was a reason for the addiction conversation, and it involved Rolando McClain and the fact that he probably won't be back with the Dallas Cowboys due to the fact that he's gained 40 pounds because he's hooked on purple drink. Really sad story.
That's very sad.
And frustrating because he's really talented. He's a very good player. But that's a conversation we have so frequently when it comes to athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have we talked about Johnny Manziel? And how many times have we talked about anything Johnny Manziel has done on the field since he's left A&M? Rarely ever. How many times have we talked about something Johnny Manziel has done that we've seen on TMZ?
More times than not. Too many.
All the freaking time. Yeah. All the freaking time. Speaking of Texas A&M.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Forgot about
exactly.
That.
What are those knuckleheads doing?
Okay, well,
Sumlin's in trouble.
I'm about trouble. I'm about tired of Sumlin.
Yeah.
I think he might be on his seventh or eighth strike with that whole ridiculous slideshow that they put together. What was it called? Football for Women?
Uh-huh. It was offensive and borderline pornographic.
And it was nothing but sexual innuendo. It's like
two assistant coaches came up with that.
This is the school Johnny Manziel went to.
Yes.
Your prized possession, the guy who built you a new stadium, is in the mess that he's in, and now you see the leadership that he had.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
No leadership, apparently. It's obvious. So he's going to have to go. And here's the
weird
thing.
He's got to go, yeah.
The weird thing I heard
is that
he is one of the coaches that the NFL has been eyeing to.
Oh, absolutely.
They're looking for more African-American coaches. Okay, that's great. But wouldn't you? There are tons of them that have been running good programs.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you go to the one just because it's a high-profile program and he's an African-American coach? You go to him? Like, what's wrong? There have to be some African-American coaches out there that are running a good program.
Yeah, excuse me. There's one about 90 minutes from here.
He
about
just keeps saying no, but he should still be asked.
Absolutely. Yeah. He should be. Hey, this year? You want it? No? Okay.
Next year?
We'll check in next year.
Absolutely.
And those Stanford coaches, they don't make good NFL coaches at all.
Right.
Proven.
No track record of that working out at all.
Never.
And he has a slightly different personality than Harbaugh did, so maybe David Shaw would translate just a little bit better.
Maybe.
Did you guys touch on Baylor at all?
Nope.
No.
And that Baylor silenced some of the rape victims that we talked about with Sally Jenkins and we've talked about so many times because they threatened to have them thrown out of school for drinking on campus. Or for underage drinking, depending. Or they would just tell their parents what was going on while they were at college.
Yeah, that's probably the worst of those three punishments.
Exactly.
You're going to call my mom.
Wait, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
But that just goes to, I mean, this is just more details coming out about the entire situation.
Right.
Now we're finding out exactly how they were silencing the victims.
You've said it a dozen times, and I have never agreed with you more. What should happen to Baylor?
They should get the SMU, what they call the death penalty.
Yeah.
They should, absolutely. Absolutely.
There's no question about it. They need to get it. The NCAA needs to make an example out of Baylor.
The corruption there, and we talked about this before in a much larger discussion about how a big school like that will run the entire town,
if not
a state sometimes.
Yep.
And so you've got to find a way to get in there, and they've got to go in there and just nip all that in the bud, and you have to put that program on, on the harshest suspension you can possibly give them, which is called the death penalty. SMU took it.
Yep.
They fixed it and came back.
And I can't imagine them doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I think they're far more worried about donors and boosters and players getting cars than they are about sexual assaults, arrest, and rape victims.
Sadly.
All right. Well, let's move into a more fun aspect of football with Three to Hardway.
I get to go. Hi, friends.
Oh, football season is here, and I was thinking about this the other day because I've just been talking to football fans, you know, guys I work with or guys that I'm friends with, Facebook, and just phone calls.
Pretty much everybody on earth.
Yeah. All my friends and coworkers, and everyone's got an opinion. And I was like, everyone has an opinion. Let's see what everyone here says. I know we've only had 3 days of practice. But everyone's already got buzz about teams, and you can see certain things happening. So at this point, right now, who is your favorite? Who do you believe is the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year? Granted, the Super Bowl's not until February. But right now, who do you think is off to the best start and can get to the Super Bowl? Haven't played a game yet.
I think it's always easy to say when you haven't played a game who it would be.
Right.
I had to write something for this for CBS Sports the other day, so I've already given this question a lot of thought.
Oh, is that
the New England Patriots?
Still? Really?
Yes. How is it not? I think the question should be, who's the Super Bowl favorites? And if it's not the Patriots, tell me why you think so.
Okay.
It's the Patriots. I think it's always the – Brady's still there, right?
As far as I know, yes.
Belichick's still there?
I do believe so, yes, sir.
And they have the Gronk?
That individual is still alive and walking, yes.
It's the Patriots.
Okay.
That's who I roll with.
The best part about this, it's opinion, so you can't be wrong, but even my statement is probably wrong because
the Raiders.
Every team has a flaw. I'm doing it.
Are you really?
I am going
I'm waiting.
The Oakland Raiders.
That's it. Really?
I'm going in. I can find a flaw in every team, and there are flaws with the Raiders. I'm a little bit nervous about Carr being all the way there. I think they have a lot of good things. I'm a little worried about running back, a little, and a little worried about Carr, but I think I'm doing it. I'm going all in.
Wow.
The Raiders.
They're
not the favorites. I know that.
Of course not.
But it's today. Why not? I'm doing it. Okay. I'm all in.
Okay.
Well,
from non-playoffs to Super Bowl favorites. Wow. That's not too much hyperbole.
They were 7-9. No, it's in football,
we wouldn't have picked Carolina.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. Football has what the NFL has what the NBA doesn't. And that's parity.
Yeah.
You could go in every year and think, my team has a chance. No Sacramento King fan is thinking that.
Right.
That's solid.
There's only a couple of fan bases out there who are thinking, my team has a chance.
And that's why it's any given Sunday.
Yeah.
Even though it was the name of a movie, that was always something everyone said every single weekend in the NFL. Any given Sunday, you can beat any team.
That's why this time of year, before a game has been played, is really exciting because you feel like you get through week one, you got to win. Dallas Cowboys got to win. I thought last year, I mentioned this the other day, was the first time I thought they had an opportunity to win. Then week two came.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then it was like, okay, well, there goes the season.
Yeah,
so
quarterback's hurt.
I guess I'll just enjoy football the rest of the way. Let's see what happens. So right now is the funnest time of year because when you pick a team like Oakland, you can rationalize it, and it makes total sense. And you?
Oh, I'm going to keep it – I'm going to be more realistic.
I'll remember that.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, that was my other choice as well.
That's the team everyone has to beat. That defense is ridiculous. And
the Cardinals got to prove they can win.
Exactly.
The Cardinals' defense is ridiculous, too.
But they've got an issue on the offensive end. They got a quarterback that loves to throw the ball with three guys there. And usually,
is that bad?
Usually two of the guys his jersey.
Yeah. The wrong team.
Yeah, exactly. That's their issue. Their offense is their issue. But I feel like Seattle, dangerous.
Are you saying throwing
Russell
into traffic is a bad idea?
That's a bad idea. Only Brett Favre can get away with that. And even that came back to get him a few times.
What's funny is I just realized Jason and I had a conversation about three the hard way and determined you should go last. But somehow when the segment started,
we forgot.
Yeah,
we forgot. Okay. We do this thing where we decide.
Yeah, it's like
the
a ball spinning around there and letting one person.
I thought
the
same thing. And then when Ken started, I went, oh, yeah, I think he was supposed to go last.
Sorry.
339-1140, 1-800. You just look so excited when the music hits.
He was ready.
Like, I'll go.
I didn't know.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Jamie, you got a Super Bowl prediction already?
Well, you know, that's pretty tough. I'm going to make it a lot easier. I'm going to tell you who's not going to win the Super Bowl. Mm. The San Francisco 49ers.
Solid.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody has a chance but them.
But them. That's all.
All right, Jamie, we appreciate
it. One down.
Okay, yeah. So we got
31-0.
We've eliminated them.
Yeah. Can we put Cleveland in there?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
But wait, though.
Yes.
Wait, though.
No.
No, hold tight.
No, I'm penciling them in right now.
There's something in the water in Cleveland, and this time it's good for you. Seriously. The
probably want to have that check, though.
The Cavs won, right?
Yes.
The Indians are out of control right now.
Yeah.
And for the first time since 97, they made great moves, mm-hmm. trades, to actually help their team. Now, you're telling me if the Indians go to the World Series, you're not going to rethink that whole Browns thing? You have to.
If they end up, if they wind up in the World Series, we're a month into the NFL season. The Browns are 500, then I'll rethink it.
Okay.
Then there is something in the water.
I'm just saying.
Then, so that changes the narrative. If the Indians wind up in the World Series, LeBron James is no longer the questionably anything. He might be the greatest human since Jesus to ever live.
Yep.
If he can somehow, in a time where Cleveland has gone 52 years without winning a championship, he brings one home, and suddenly there's this avalanche of title town in Cleveland.
Yes. Wow.
That completely changes who LeBron James is forever. There is no Mount Rushmore. It's just a big stone, and LeBron's carved in it.
That's the only way he catches that ghost.
Yeah.
We'll talk. Yeah. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Well, I'll go.
Okay.
Because I actually like yours, and I think yours has a lot of legs. So let's.
Wait a minute. Actually, like his. Like you didn't like mine?
No, I
we
meant
did.
Mine.
Yours was supposed
yours
to go
was
third.
Voted to be the last
oh,
one.
You guys didn't tell me that.
I know. We forgot. We didn't execute.
The pre-show meeting. I miss it every day.
Every day.
Sorry.
We're just having you here when you get here before the update. With your suit off, because
yes.
We knew you need a few minutes to get the suit off. The Laramie Tunsil, Miami Dolphins, they were in a little skirmish, if you will, at training camp. Here's head coach Adam Gase talking about that. Sounds like someone's heart is beating right into the microphone as Adam Gase is talking. But Mike Tomlin spoke after Steelers practice how he likes very physical practices. One of his assistants, Todd Haley, he said Steelers do some of the most physical practices they've ever seen. John Harbaugh, he thinks it's good for team building. Jack Del Rio, he talks about his team being physical. He went on to add in a print interview I don't have audio for, hopefully we won't waste our time doing things like that, talking about skirmishes. Raiders take care of Raiders. We want to compete. We want to play hard, but we want to be respectful. What do you think? Are you okay with your team at this stage of the season, obviously being training camp, having real physical practices? Are you okay with those dust-ups? Are you okay with those inter-squad fights that we see so often during training camp?
I am, but I think the next step is the most important part. So the fight, I think it's inevitable. Those are going to happen. It's a physical sport.
Cam Newton was praised for it last year. Yeah. Remember there was the video or the still picture of him getting in a fight during I don't know if it was a good-hearted fight or whatever, but it was a skirmish.
Sure. And I think what happens next, whether it's position coaches, leaders on the team, the two that are involved or multiple people that are involved, does it end there? And I think if it does, that's healthy because, you know, it's competition. People are battling for spots. People are trying to make a name for themselves. But you're also teammates. And so I think maybe when it stands out more is when you see some teams share practices. If the, you know, Broncos and Chiefs are – well, they probably wouldn't. But, you know, maybe two teams hook up together and then fights happen. Okay, that's bound to happen. But I don't know that I love seeing it amongst teammates, but if it ends there and it's nothing that continues, I think it's okay.
Absolutely. I think it's great because think about how much time you actually have to practice, all right? And they've put a lot of limitations on how much time you can spend in pads. You have to go 3 practices before you can even put your pads on for training camp. So now that's a couple of days where you can't really do anything physical. And then if you look at the schedule, today's August the 2nd. First game is August the 7th. That's the Hall of Fame game. For everyone else, it's August the 11th. So that's 9 days away.
Yeah.
You have to get those hits and you have to get physical at some point. And the old school adage was, hey, we want to be physical with each other until we get sick of hitting each other. And then right about the time that happens, it's time to face another team. And then you're happy to be hitting somebody else other than your own guy. But I like it as long as it's kind of limited. And I know this may be a little hypocritical, but I want it to be limited to linemen. I don't think the position player should be involved in that. Like a receiver and a corner, someone's going to get hurt if they're involved in that. Or if, even if it's your quarterback, Cam Newton, who I think, by the way, is kind of a punk move because he knows that they can't touch him. He's the quarterback.
Right.
The other guy can't go off on him like he would on another player. So that was a punk move from him.
Which he was praised for, by the way.
By whom?
Media. Well, look at Cam Newton in there getting
dirty.
Well,
media doesn't know anything. Did his teammates
Did his teammates
say, hey, I'd like to see my quarterback? No one on the team said that.
Welcome to the lowdown.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because they can't hit him back.
Right.
Yeah. It was the same thing that Ryan Tannehill did the same thing when he humiliated a guy on the scout team.
And exactly that right there is my issue with this question.
What's that?
All guys can't react the same way.
Right.
You're a guaranteed player with a guaranteed roster spot. You can react a certain way. If you're one of those other guys fighting for a spot, you have to pick and choose who you fight against.
Yep.
You can get praised by some coaches for going against the biggest, baddest dog in the yard, or you can get the, dude, who does this guy think he is? Does he know he's going to get cut on live television when this airs on Hard Knocks?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's my issue with it is –
it's not fair.
All fights aren't created equal.
Exactly.
Just as you just used the Tannehill and Cam Newton example.
Yeah. They're taking advantage of their position.
All right, let's hit the next one.
All right, guys, today I'm going to ask another football question about we always ask about quarterbacks. People love to rate quarterbacks. Who's the best quarterback, this and that? Well, let's go to another skill position and on offense, running backs. It's kind of a dying breed, but they're still important. So the simple question is, who is the best running back in the NFL right now?
I've been studying this a little bit because I think we're doing fantasy this year, so I got to learn.
Oh, he's warming
best.
Up to
See,
it.
Here's the thing, though. If I say who I think is the best, then you'll try to draft him ahead of me on fantasy draft.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
Unless we don't like your pick.
Okay, good.
You think Trent Richardson is the...
he would be if they just gave him another chance.
Good draft. I would draft him. Just give him a chance.
Yeah.
First overall pick.
Seriously, do you know, you guys really want to know who I think is the best running back?
No, we were just kidding. We don't really want to know.
I know what you're going to say.
Doug Martin.
I knew he was going to say
Not just because he's on my team, the Buccaneers. He is quick. He's elusive. He is powerful for being so compact and short. He's super powerful, and he catches the ball beautifully out of the backfield. That's everything you want in a running back. When he gets to the outside, you might catch him because he doesn't have really that breakaway speed, but he's still going to get 40, 50 yards. I think he's the entire back, and he's young. He's only, I do believe, going to get win his fourth or fifth year now. I love Doug Martin. He's fantastic for the Buccaneers. Fantastic.
By the way, Raider Nation is going absolutely nuts.
Are they mad at me?
No.
No.
Oh.
No, they
love you. You didn't jinx it? Okay.
Of course, there is this one that says Jason Ross been using the purple drink ?
I was just going to say.
I'm not sure about that.
Somebody had to ask that.
Yeah. Three names came to mind right away. Two we need to see a little bit more from.
Okay.
David Johnson in Arizona. Really impressive for a short stretch last year.
Yeah, very short, yeah.
Todd Gurley was really incredible his rookie year.
Solid.
But I still think it's Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
I think last year was a weird year for him coming back from his suspension and all of that. So it was a weird year. I think Minnesota will be good, maybe even really good this year, contesting for that division. I think it's Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be Adrian Peterson every year until someone clearly knocks him off that throne. And I don't think that's happened yet.
Well, I think it's Adrian Peterson as well, but I had three names, so I'll just give the other ones too. Because Adrian Peterson is 31, so he's over that magic age,
right.
But he's still awesome.
But he took a year off, so maybe he has a year to play with.
Todd Gurley, I think, is really, really good, but it's also he just started.
Yep.
So I feel like you got one near the end, one that started, and one I picked right in the middle, who I think is really good, is Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, absolutely.
I think he's a stud.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he's more in the middle of that age group and proven it a little bit more than Gurley, not as much as Peterson.
Even
I think it's Peterson.
I'm with you. Even more than those Gurley, who we both noted, and David Johnson as well. I think Le'Veon Bell's the one right behind.
Jamal Charles is really good, too.
He just keeps getting hurt.
Yeah.
They both have an issue. One keeps getting hurt. The other one keeps getting suspended.
Yes.
So I need to see 16 games.
Yeah.
And Adrian Peterson, while you guys are absolutely correct, he's the most talented running back and strongest. But it's not just that he's 31. It's that Minnesota's changing their offense.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer the focal point of the offense. So he's not going to have another chance to get anywhere near 2,000 yards. He's not even going to probably have a chance to lead the league because they've changed. They have so many really good position players over there, really good receivers and slot backs and their other running backs. I mean, they can do so many different things. He's not going to see the ball like he used to.
Well, 2,000 yards was massive, and I don't remember the last time anyone has approached that before.
Well, he almost broke the record. Was it 3 years ago? He came up like 8 yards
when he won the MVP.
Yeah, he was like 8 yards shy of the record. Something crazy like that.
He won the MVP that year. He won. He basically, that last week, took the MVP award from Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was going to win that award.
That's when he threw, what, 55? Something touchdown, something crazy like that.
He'd put up some stupid Peyton Manning stat.
Yeah. That he does. That's what he does. Yeah.
Yeah. He's good at that.
It's AD. But I hope it's Ezekiel Elliott.
Of course you do.
It won't be, but I hope it is. I mean, it was 2 years ago DeMarco Murray led the league in the NFL.
Yeah.
Led the NFL in rushing, excuse me.
Kind of out of nowhere. That stuff can happen.
Right.
That's because that line in Dallas is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous offensive line.
Exactly. Yeah. And you start looking at lines, you know, that Raiders. One, yeah.
They got a good, that's true.
And Latavius Murray, I think, was second in the AFC in rushing at over 1,000 yards. I don't know that he was ever great, but he was just solid every week.
Yeah. And he gets better and takes more pressure off a car.
Yeah.
With that line.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Super Bowl. Can I change?
No, go ahead. Yes.
Purple drink.
No, I'm not changing.
You sure?
No.
You say Patriots.
I got to say Patriots.
All right.
No one said Green Bay. That was the other team I was thinking
I'm just not.
They're always good. They always made the playoffs.
That's the one but they won one.
Yeah.
So it's
great quarterback, but
they didn't do anything to really help him this year in the offseason. He didn't get any additional.
Yeah, and the 1 year they were undefeated for so long. They went 15-1 and lost in the first round or their first round after a bye. They've had some disappointments in the playoffs.
It's hard to only certain teams. I think you could go back and just not win. Like Green Bay has been there, and they won. It's like okay, but they haven't. I feel like they haven't sniffed it since then.
Yeah, they should have more.
They should have lost to Dallas because Dez Bryant caught the damn ball.
Oh, here we go. He's right. Now you are right about
that. I'm with you.
You are right about that.
But no.
Now who did they lose to after?
Seattle?
Seattle had the miracle.
Yeah.
The miracle Seattle onside was getting it handed and all that. To them. Yeah.
Is that the year Seattle lost to the last second? Okay. Yeah. You guys think that Green Bay could have beaten Seattle? I mean, Dallas could have beaten Seattle, excuse me? You think Dallas could have beaten?
No. For one reason.
They already did that year, right?
They did that year at home. They would have had to have gone back to Seattle and played them a second time in Seattle and would have had to beat them a second time in Seattle.
That's tough.
They snapped the win streak, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's tough to do. Mm.
Do the Yankees have a master plan with the moves that they've made? We got that coming up. Plus, who would Michael Jordan pick to star in Space Jam 2? That's all on the lowdown. Right here on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League, Sports 1140 KHDK. Join Sports 1140 for the Sacramento Whiskey, Wine, and Spirits Festival August 19th at the California Museum. Step back in time and enjoy an opulent party reminiscent of the Great Gatsby era with samplings of the finest whiskeys, wines, and spirits from around the region. In addition, enjoy live entertainment and delicious bites from some of Sacramento's premier restaurants. Purchase your tickets now at khdk.com. We thank you so much for being with us here. Jason, Ken, Damian, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I'm not sure if he's still there. Dean, did you hang with us?
What's up, players?
Hey, how you doing, my man? Good to hear from you.
Driving around our fair city, and you guys were talking about football and some baseball, so I thought I'd call. So,
all right, what's on your mind?
Well, first off, your Super Bowl predictions, I think we're going to see the Steelers and the Seahawks in the Super Bowl this year.
Okay. Why the Steelers? Tell me why the Steelers.
I just think they've got all the pieces to get there. It's all about Big Ben if he stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys mentioned Le'Veon Bell. That guy's a monster. I love him.
And they also have the best wide receiver in
that helps.
All of football, so that's not a bad deal either.
Not a bad deal either. I like the way Tomlin goes about his business. I like his attitude. You know, you guys were mentioning physical practice and all that. I'm not even a Steelers fan, but I'm trying to look at it realistically, and the Seahawks, you know, they're going to be good this year. Their defense is ridiculous, and Russell Wilson's amazing, but that's who I think is going to be there.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask you guys about Yasiel Puig, though. You know, how many good years did he have with the Dodgers?
I mean, it's safe to say probably a season and a half.
That's what before, I was
before
with.
Things started to kind of go wrong for him.
Because, you know, I couldn't agree more. He didn't adjust to the game, but I wonder how much of it is. The guy is great. He has massive ability, obviously, and he's so young. But how much of it was just overhyped because he was in L.A.?
Well, part of that, he just started so hot.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was gunning guys down with his arm like Bo Jackson used
to do. I'm not questioning his ability at all. The guy, I mean, he looked like he was going to be the next Willie Mays or, you know, Roberto Clemente or whoever. The guy, he's got mad skills.
I get what you're saying, Dean. There's a certain aspect when you're a star in a market like Los Angeles. You could be a star, but you'll become a superstar because you're in Los Angeles.
Right. And I mean, let's face it. I don't want to sound like a whining Giants fan, but the Dodgers get so much play on the four-letter network, and I know Puig had issues. Kershaw had issues with Puig. He had clubhouse issues with players, and I just wonder if you hear the stories of guys who go to the Yankees and some guys just can't handle it there, you know, like Randy Johnson comes to mind. But then a guy like Nick Swisher flourished there while he was there.
Sure. You know,
some guys just can't handle the big city, a big city in that spotlight. And I wonder if Puig went somewhere where he's not so much the focus of stuff, maybe not. I don't know, but
yeah,
know.
No, it's a good point.
Valid.
You might be
right,
Dean. Yeah, we appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much, and really appreciate you staying on hold so long. It's fair.
It's sort of fair, but you're still playing Major League Baseball. So even if you go to a place where no one shows up, whatever, Tampa, if you go there and they don't have many fans, you're still playing Major League Baseball. And his problem was he just too many mistakes, mental mistakes at that level. Can't have that.
We'll go back to the clip. Chris Verlob played it in one of the sports updates that you guys do, and we played it once earlier, and it's this one. That's Ken Rosenthal right there. You got an issue with your teammates, it's going to be tough to get along anywhere.
I'm wondering, though, when you say if he's not playing well, he's tough to be around, what player isn't when they're not playing well? I feel like most players are that way.
Yeah.
They're not playing well. They don't feel like they're helping to contribute to whatever's happening with the team, and they're going to be surly. That's been happening for centuries. You're going to be a little surly in the clubhouse because you're not contributing. You can't find your swing. You can't find your rhythm, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're saying that he's, I guess, acting out in a manner that's not normal in a clubhouse.
Right.
And the guys are frustrated, I guess, is what's happening.
And then, partly that. And then now they have a legitimate replacement. In trading for Reddick, then it's just easy. We'll put a proven quality player, good locker room guy, right there in right field, take his spot. And if he can figure it out, we still like his talent. But if he can't, then maybe we'll ultimately move Puig.
But it seems like they went from loving the guy to you're still part of the family to – just like that,
done.
You got to go.
Well, there have been questions about him since day one.
True.
Oh, his attitude, or he makes bonehead. I mean, we've seen him do a lot of stupid things on the field.
There's several plays worth of video of that.
Yeah. So it's not, I wouldn't necessarily say it's all of a sudden, but it did feel like there wasn't a lot of talk, right, of him not being a Dodger until suddenly we got to this deadline. It's okay, he's gone. We're trading him we're sending him down to the minors. Yeah. We're waving him. We're doing whatever.
Maybe it is all a combination of things. It's, you know, not being able to tap into all of the potential, not being there mentally all the time on the field, coming into the season and requesting a helicopter because you can't deal with the L.A. traffic.
Is that weird?
That was super weird. We're like, dude, you're not the biggest star to be here. There have been huge stars, and somehow they've all managed to get to the stadium in proper time.
I asked for one, too, when I got here to avoid all that construction on 80 in the Potomac.
No, that's valid. Yours is valid. Yes.
Well, of course you'd say that because they said, no, you can't have it. We've already given it to Ken.
Sorry.
You're a Yankee fan.
Yes.
I'm sure you guys talked about this yesterday. Do you like what the Yankees did? They essentially, even though they won a thrilling game against the Mets yesterday, they kind of were like, all right, we know this isn't our year. There's talk of, you know, Beltran's gone, Chapman's gone. There's talk that they'll probably dump A-Rod at some point before the season's over and just pay off whatever remaining money he has. They are rebuilding, retooling, starting from scratch here with their farm system. Are you happy with what they've done?
It's really hard to say because I know last week I said I think that's what they should do. But prospects, that doesn't sound sexy. And even if someone says, oh, they got the best prospect, one of the prospects they got from the Cubs is supposed to be great. All right. What if he's not? Mm-hmm. You trade a Chapman for someone that's not great.
Right.
So it's easier to wrap your head around some unknown quantity. So I like the concept. I like the idea. But without knowing the results of what these prospects will be. Now, if they pan out, I think it was brilliant. But that is the biggest what if you have going out there.
Well, Bryce Harper is only 2 years away from free agency.
I like the sound of that much better, even though I don't like him.
Bryce Harper, you'll like him in pinstripes. A couple of prospects.
Yeah.
Short porch and right field.
Yeah.
You'll be just all over that.
Yeah, the anguish of going through like 2 years of rebuilding is so tough.
You're going to be fine.
Who would Michael Jordan?
No one can deal with it. That's awful.
Who would Michael Jordan pick to star in Space Jam 2? We got that coming up on the lowdown here on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League. Sports 1140 KHDK. Lots of response on the text line of 44-1140 to some of the baseball conversation we just have. Yankees have set themselves up for a major super team of their own in the 2019 season. They have a chance at Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, and I think there's an article about that right now where Brian Cashman talks a little bit about that on ESPN.com. Call me a purist, but baseball has a funny way of turning on players that don't respect the game and their teammates, i.e. Yasiel Puig.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That was really, I mean, I know there were a lot of good deals. There were some interesting moves that the A's made, you know, Rich Hill and all of that. But I guess that's par for the course with the Oakland A's. I thought Yasiel Puig was the most unique thing to follow yesterday.
Yeah,
because of the such a steep decline from a couple of years ago.
And I wonder how he's going to respond to this.
Yeah.
Because it's always, you know, management, they're thinking, okay, we're going to shake him up. Maybe he doesn't appreciate being in the major leagues. Maybe he doesn't appreciate what it is that he has and what we're asking him to do. Send him down there, take a couple of bus trips down there in the minors, and maybe he'll change his attitude and appreciate, you know, what he has and come to the park every day with the right frame of mind. But he's so young, I'm not sure if he's going to be, if he can see what's happening, if he'll respond the proper or the way they want him to.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
So the audio on this is a little rocky. Forgive me. It's Michael Jordan at his ridiculously overpriced air flight camp, in which for some reason he wouldn't miss one shot to allow all the kids to have free shoes, which I'm assuming he's giving them free shoes anyway, given what that flight camp cost.
You can't assume anything.
That's very true. That's very, very true. A question was posed to him in one of the lighter, fluffier sessions at his camp. Who would you get to star in Space Jam 2?
Who?
That was a Kwame Brown reference from one of the campers, by the way.
From Kwame.
So if you couldn't hear that, Jordan said Blake Griffin.
Okay.
I've seen those Kia commercials.
Yeah.
They're pretty awesome.
I think
he's
funny.
He's very entertaining, yes.
Is it wrong that Ken and I, we both love that pick. Do you like it?
I do. I think Blake Griffin's very entertaining.
He's far more charismatic than LeBron James.
Now I'm going to go to the other side here.
What's that,
was
brother?
He just taking a little, maybe a small little dig at LeBron? Like, no, man, this isn't for you. Because he was, I don't think this Space Jam 2 thing is happening. It doesn't appear that it is. Maybe it is. Maybe it's the Chinese Democracy Guns N' Roses album in which it's going to come out like 20 years from now. But we're going to talk about it for the next 20 years.
Nice GNR pull.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Good job.
Thank you very much. I'm not a one-trick pony over here, okay? All right.
And does he even have a say? Does Jordan really have a say in this?
No, of course he doesn't.
Okay.
But the question was, who?
Yeah, yeah.
Who did he think? Yeah.
What's your idea? Like, who do you think? I love it.
Yeah, I think it's Because I'm not like everyone else. Anyone who's up here telling me, oh, my goodness, LeBron was awesome in Trainwreck. I'm like, he played LeBron James.
Yeah. I thought he was funny in Trainwreck.
All he had to do was not mess up the lines. It's like, it's such a low.
The writing was good.
Your expectations are so low for an athlete in a movie. As long as you get the words out in English, we're like, hey, yay.
Hey.
You did it.
We've all seen Blue Chips and Kazam. Yeah. And we know
Blue Chips is awesome.
Naked. What?
You didn't like Blue Chips?
Blue Chips is good.
I liked it a lot.
It was fine, but it was a basketball movie with a bunch of NBA players. Like going, oh, my God, Ray Allen was tremendous as Jesus Shuttlesworth.
He was. You didn't like him?
Why? Because he had a threesome in college? No. Did he have to act that scene out?
He had to have scenes with Denzel Washington, and he did not get blown off the screen. That's hard, man. Come on, man. He had to be on the screen with Denzel.
LeBron had to be funny with Marv Albert. And Chris Everett.
Well, I don't even know what
she was
doing.
And Chris Everett was fantastic. Yeah.
They were all out of place in that scene. Anyway.
But it was funny. You don't think LeBron was funny in that movie? When he divided up the check that was like $35 and he said, you had the
that's
soda?
That's all low-hanging fruit. I'm like, oh, he's the billionaire who's splitting up the check. Get it? That's just low-hanging fruit to me.
He was better than Amari. I didn't think Amari was
very
good.
Oh, my goodness. What was Amari even doing? Anywho.
He was playing true to form. He was on an operating table. He was like, you know, I got the perfect guy for this.
That was live footage.
Right. No, I love Amy Schumer.
Wasn't a lot of acting in that scene.
Amy Schumer's brilliant and spectacular, and I thought the movie was nice. But it seemed to me like just a lot of people playing against type, and for the majority of the movie-watching audience, that's okay with them. Like John Cena being emotional. It's like, oh, that's hilarious. I'm like, that's not really an acting stretch.
Don't you dare.
No, I like him.
Don't you dare.
Not my point.
Too close to home.
I like him.
Hey, you're getting personal.
No, I like him.
Do you want to? Are we going to have to?
Everybody stay cool. But I'm saying I like him, but I'm like, that really wasn't special. Like, it's not that difficult. You're just playing against type.
You didn't think the love scene with John Cena and Amy Schumer was funny?
I'm trying to remember. He was doing a lot of talking.
He was
too much, probably, for her.
He was doing a lot of talking. Yeah. Okay, I remember that part. Okay, that was funny. Yeah, that was funny.
I thought LeBron did a good. I thought they both.
He didn't
did
do a bad
job.
It wasn't a bad job, not at all. It wasn't.
But I can see Blake being more again. But this would be a totally different type of deal because Blake would have you. Space Jam is a kid's movie, mm-hmm. So you got to be charismatic. You got to be funny, but your humor can't be like you could have humor on a Kia commercial that could go over a kid's head because a kid's not buying a Kia.
True.
You can't do that in Space Jam.
But have you seen all the kids' movies now? They're completely
no.
for the adults.
Yes.
I went to go see, Zootopia.
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed more than my son. My wife and I cracked up. It was crazy.
I know the Shrek movies used to be. I used to watch those. Like, these are adult. Like, this is all adult
yeah.
humor. Like, the one.
Shrek the Third, all those references in the Shrek.
There was weed references
yeah.
to the in the movie. And it's like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
Even in the first one where they torture where's the Muffin Man?
Yeah.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
Yeah.
I won't tell you. That's hilarious.
Watch closely, kids.
It's hilarious. But it's not for kids.
Yeah.
Acting is so easy, signed Michael Jordan in the Hanes commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not like Michael Jordan had to do a ton of acting in the
right
original Space Jam.
No emotional depth.
Other than to act like he was a baseball player.
Yeah,
no journeying. There's no yearning. Michael, find your character's motivation.
And that's
motivation.
The thing. I don't think there's going to be in Space Jam 2. Like, I don't think it's a dramatic turn, and suddenly we have, you know, a Martin Scorsese flick.
Yeah.
But I really believe, I mean, LeBron James is the name, and of course you want to put him in there. But I do believe that Blake would be more entertaining. He's pretty great in
What about James Harden?
What about Kobe?
Nobody likes James Harden.
That's when I was watching the clip, because it said you'll never believe who Michael Jordan. I thought for sure he was going to say Kobe.
Kobe.
But I feel like Kobe would like cuss like on accident, and they'd have to keep they'd have to like cut, start over, cut. He would just keep cussing.
Make it rated R.
There you go.
Then it would be funny.
Yes,
I think Kobe would be, and I feel like Kobe at this stage was more open to it.
Yeah,
like I feel like now he can let his hair down and be like, okay, yeah, let's have some fun. Whereas before, of course, you know, Black Mamba is not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's Kobe. He can do that. I think Kobe or Blake would be great. I think Blake would be better though.
I think Blake is really entertaining.
Yes.
I think Kobe would be great. I can't imagine Kobe doing it, though. Just because it's like Jordan. Everyone was shocked when they saw Jordan give his Hall of Fame speech because mm-hmm. it was so edgy and he was so
raw,
vengeful.
And emotional, yeah.
He was vengeful and angry. And you watched it like, dang, Michael's kind of a
jerk.
Yeah.
That was not the word I was thinking of, but yeah, that's it. Whereas Kobe, if he did Space Jam, be like, oh, look, Kobe's a softy.
Kobe's nice. Yeah,
Kobe's a sweetheart. Like, who's ever uttered Kobe's a sweetheart?
Nobody.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's ever said that. So it'd be cool though. I got the whole premise already. So let's see. So they have another challenge with the aliens. They need a basketball player. All the other players say they're too busy. Kobe, they're like, but one player just retired. And they find Kobe. And they somehow coax Kobe out of retirement for the one game. Done.
He scores 82.
See?
Yeah.
That's part of it, too. He's like,
Bugs going to have to write into his contract how many shots he gets in that game because Kobe.
They should have three cartoon characters, Kobe and Smush Parker, and he'll never give the ball to Smush Parker.
Oh, wow.
Never.
Why you want to roll over Smush again?
Because he did.
Come on.
That's the only way Kobe would sign on.
They should make Smush should be one of the villains.
Yes, exactly.
One of the Monstars.
One of the Monstars, yeah.
Chris Mim. Oh, my goodness.
That whole Laker team from that era should be the Monstars. Hey, remember us?
Right. How does he not talk bad about Mark Madsen, but he talks bad about Smush Parker?
Because Mark Madsen was on a championship team.
Well,
he just danced at the parade.
He got lucky.
Exactly.
He danced at more than one parade. Yeah. Dude. It's not good.
And there it is. What did Smush Parker do?
He tried.
To what, dance?
No.
Or to play?
To play basketball.
Got Kobe's way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And those were the dark years of Kobe Bryant. His book, The Smush Parker Years.
Yes.
That's just mean. That's just a mean person.
Well, we'll have more basketball stuff. Boogie doing great for Team USA. We'll touch on that. Jalen Rose has some interesting remarks about the Olympics, and LeBron James has admitted he's chasing the ghost that played in Chicago. That's coming up next in the third and final hour of the Lowdown right here on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League, Sports 1140 KHDK.